Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Wind Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to windcolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
Awesome!
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts, and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoyan.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like. Because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
It's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaney doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word, because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute, supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm drunk.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no! You're stupid, because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah,
later,
reset.
Later, bitches!
Gentlemen, welcome to Total Nonstop Anarchy. I am your host, Andre, the first show in Nashville, Tennessee, from the I can't remember what it's called, the home of TNA, the Asylum. And joining me this week on the podcast is my good buddy, the man who's welcomed me onto his podcast a couple times now, Adam Blank. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So we're talking TNA. So I got to ask you, did you watch any of these back in the original heyday?
None.
Okay. So all this is very fresh to you.
It sure is. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it is. Once WCW and ECW disappeared, I was just a WWE guy. So
for me, I didn't watch these first couple years. Like, first time I watched TNA was in 2004 when Jeff Hardy went over there.
Okay.
That was when I started watching TNA. So this a lot of this to me is like, what the hell? So you grew up watching wrestling, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you big wrestling fan, as I know, because I've poured your wrestling stuff in the past when I was hanging out with your brother.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so and so TNA is pretty much unknown to you then.
No, yeah, I went. You know what? And you want to know the truth, man? Is because I know their reputation from back then.
Yeah,
and I went into this with a very open mind because I was like, I've never watched it.
Yeah,
let's give it. You know what? Let's see. You know, I was like, I'm not going to go into it assuming it's going to suck. Or assuming it's going to be good, I'm just going to watch it as a wrestling fan.
It feels like WCW extended is what it feels like.
Because this was the era where they were charging every week for a pay-per-view,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, $10 a week.
It wasn't like a weekly TV show.
No, no. They didn't get that till 2004 when they went on to Fox Sports.
Right.
So yeah, which I think is their second best deal they've ever had was Fox Sports.
Right. So I went into this like honestly wondering, like, okay, let's say I got this one for free. Let's see if I would be ordering next week's pay-per-view after watching this.
Yeah, and...
I'll keep my I'd rather go to McDonald's with my $10.
I prefer to be watching this like 18 or 16 years later, and or 18 years later, whatever it is now, and going, yeah, this sucked.
Yeah, this was interesting, my friend. This put our friendship to the test that you made me sit through this pay-per-view. I was like, Andre, I thought we were buddies.
I got a text from you, I'm like, this is Russo era shit, isn't it? I'm like, yep.
Yeah, and I was the first.
And I think he literally just joined TNA. I don't think he did the first couple episodes, but he joined in the, like, I think this is when he first came on.
I would be, because, yeah, you're right. I looked that up too. And I would be floored if Vince Russo wasn't behind this, because this entire event screamed Vince Russo.
And you also have a lot of, there's a few guys from WCW's creative team that worked in TNA in the early days.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are influenced by Vince Russo from that time, and everybody's still trying to do the, as is known as TNA, the tits and ass kind of stuff.
Fuck.
They're still trying to capture 1999, 2000 WCW is what they're trying to capture with this easily.
It was worse.
Yeah.
It was worse.
So let's get into the pay-per-view proper. Actually, let's I checked online. There was actually a couple dark matches before the pay-per-view started. And it was Scotty Sabre versus Matt Longtime. Have no idea who either of those guys are.
Nope, me neither.
And then you have Team Canada, which I think at the time was Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
Oh, wow.
Taking on Chase Stevens, who was one half of the Naturals, and Cassidy O'Reilly.
Okay.
So those were just like pre-show. And you actually see Chase Stevens and Cassidy O'Reilly in the pay-per-view actually at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll point them out when we get to there.
Okay.
So the show opens with recap videos as always. The talk shows last week.
Yeah.
And then you go to Mike Tenay, Don West, Ed Ferrara. They're giving you the rundown of the night. And they bring out the NWA president, Jim Miller. I never heard of this guy before. I never even knew that there was I never knew. And he just seemed like just an actor they picked up.
I was just going to say that. That's the first note I made. The very first note I made is how much I hate Ed Ferrara.
And then God.
Like, I hate Ed Ferrara.
He gets worse as the night goes on, too.
Oh, and then the second note I made is that I was like, this guy, you probably don't know who it is. There was this guy called Chevy Guy. He was like a huge internet guy a few years ago.
Okay.
And he was this guy that was at the MLB, the World Series, and he was presenting a truck to the MVP of the World Series.
Okay.
And he just stumbled through all his lines. It was sweating. And he looked like some dude they just picked out of the crowd and were like, hey, can you just go give away this truck? That's what this president seemed like.
Yeah,
to me.
He didn't
just not, some guy that didn't know why he was there.
It just seemed like they hired an actor and said, you're the NWA president now.
Yeah.
So he presents the NWA trophy to Mike Tenay as a representative for TNA, and it's to welcome TNA to the NWA.
Right.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Then he says he has a surprise, because he said he missed the last couple weeks because he was touring in Japan, and he says it is a big surprise, and he met a big Japanese guy named Omari, and he's going to have him challenge the winner of Shamrock versus Malice. I'm like, okay. I was just like, I'm like, okay, you're building a story with Shamrock and James Mitchell's faction. Why are you just bringing this random guy just in to face Shamrock
and like,
next week?
And the way that he's just like, oh, I went to Japan and I saw this big guy. And yeah. I was like, you deserve a shot at our championship.
It's the Vince McMahon. Simple as that.
Just awful.
Just
quick, because I meant to say this, because you pointed out that they did a bit of a recap from the previous week. I would just like to we all crap on, well, not all of us, but a lot of us crap on the WWE now for their product and everything.
Very much.
Deservedly so. But one of the things that, and this goes back as long as I've watched pro wrestling, basically, one of the things that WWE deserves a mountain of credit for is their recap packages are perfect.
Like, short, simple, get you through.
Yeah, and when I'm done watching it, I'm like, okay, I know who I'm cheering for. I watched that recap at the beginning, explaining the main event.
I think it was like a good 2 minutes, too, of it all.
I still have no idea who I'm supposed to be cheering for in that main event. I have no idea why they're fighting.
Knowing in past history, you probably do know who you are, knowing who they are. But for somebody coming in who had never... didn't watch WCW, didn't watch any of that, probably doesn't know who they need to cheer for in that match.
It's an awful recap package.
Oh, terrible. They're just terrible at it. So we get into the first match of the evening. It is tonight they're going to have a tournament to crown their first NWA tag team champions.
Yep.
So this is it's a two-round match because it's just in four teams.
Yeah, and that was another thing I said. When I found that out, because I love one-night tournaments. I love it.
I was hoping for at least, eight teams.
Right. Like, that's what I wanted the focus of the show to be, is this tournament. And they were like,
if you watched the week before, they literally say next week will be a tournament for the tag team titles along with the main event, Jeff Jarrett and...
Yeah.
But they made it sound like the entire show is going to be tag team matches in a tournament.
Right. They never show you a bracket.
No.
So I have no idea who's in this tournament, which maybe is what they wanted, bracket.
You learn it as they come out, which is, to me, the worst, because it's like, ugh. And this is, I was looking at the NWA tag team title history. I can't remember the names, but they had literally won the tag team titles at the start of June, the NWA titles. And then when TNA came in, they got the power to book the titles for NWA because they're now part of their TV show.
Right.
And they made the tag team I don't think they ever appear on WWE or on TNA. And they made them vacate them because they're like, well, we need our titles. We need to make a tournament. You could have just had these guys come in, drop the titles to somebody.
Right.
You keep the lineage proper. And trust me, throughout the time in TNA, these titles get vacated more than you would expect.
I'd believe that.
You would expect a certain amount, but they get vacated even more.
I believe that. Trust me. So I have no idea who's in this tournament, as you don't either.
So you have outcomes first. The tag team was only created the week before of Wildcat Chris Harris and the Cowboy James Storm, two men who would go on to have a great tag team history together.
Sure.
And then James Storm would have a great tag team history with Bobby Roode.
Right.
And they're taking on the Johnsons, Ron and Don Harris, as they're
Were they the Harrisons?
The Harris brother boys. With their manager, Mortimer Plumtree.
Now, okay, this is my first point I wrote down. I actually really like the concept of Storm and Harris being thrown together as a team and getting put in this tournament.
They got thrown together the week before.
Right. I could kind of live with that. I'm like, here's these two guys, and they're playing them up to kind of be underdogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. That's a storyline. Two guys that aren't a tag team that are young and like, let's go. I can get behind that. Then the Johnsons come out. Now, it's Richard and Rod.
Richard and Dawn, I think it was. Or was it Richard and Rod?
Richard and Rod. Oh, and the reason I wrote that down is because Richard can be abbreviated into Dick. And
Dick,
Rod
Johnson.
And Rod Johnson. Is a nickname for a Johnson. And they're dressed like giant dicks.
Like, that's what the joke was. And they thought it'd be funny.
And that was when I sent you that text. And I was like, Andre, tell me this is not a Vince Russo pay-per-view.
I don't think Russo was involved in creating this team because these guys were on the first pay-per-view 2 weeks earlier.
Whoever was deserves
to be
fired.
Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure Vince Russo was booking it from the beginning. He just wasn't officially... I swear they were calling him going, hey, give us your worst ideas.
What a joke. I guarantee, a tag team that's a pair of giant dicks.
And they're controlled by by a guy who used to be bullied by them. That was the gimmick. They used to be his bullies and then he got rich or something and now he controls them. And makes them dress like giant penises.
Now, I will say, I actually found Mortimer Plumtree kind of funny.
Oh, he's a fun character, but it's just...
It was stupid. It was so stupid.
I wish you had a better tag team to deal with. I really do.
Yeah.
So it starts out... I even wrote here, Mortimer is creepy and weird.
He totally is, but I thought he was
good
at playing that.
In a good way. He wants to come off creepy and weird. Simple as that.
Yeah, vintage heel manager.
Yeah.
Right?
So we start the match, and Harris is in with... And I wrote this down. I can't tell them apart.
No, you.
So I just say A. Johnson pretty much throughout my entire notes.
But you know what? And I thought they didn't do nearly as much as they could have. With that should have been classic, a twin tag team where they can switch in and out.
As the Bellas call it, twin magic.
That's what they should have done. Oh,
and
the
way the Usos do it at times, they'll like one will zip out, and the other will zip in, and then bam.
And that's what they should have. Like they could have been easily just been these two underdog guys that got thrown together.
They did. I think they did it 2 weeks earlier in the first episode. Like they did a switch that nobody noticed, and then they picked up a win. But yeah,
they should have been doing that. You know?
Yeah. It would make more sense. So Harris gets in with a Johnson. He gets beat. It's just Johnson's beating him up. And actually had a butterfly suplex, which I was impressed by. The guy that's like, got a two count. Harris dodges out of the corner and actually gets the Fez press, which Harris, I'll say this for Harris. He's never been a guy like he came to WWE and did not succeed. I was always impressed with him in TNA. Like his physique was always good there. Mm-hmm. He was always a good quality worker. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'll say about Chris Harris. I know a lot of people shit on him for Braden Walker, but yeah, I always enjoyed him in his TNA run. And then tag storm in, blocks a hip toss, gets a tilt-a-whirl head scissors. The Johnson, I don't know which one it is, comes back, hits a swinging neckbreaker, gets a two. Like they don't give. Like, majority of the pinfalls go to the Johnsons in this match. So that's what I get annoyed by.
Right.
The other Johnson tagged in, and Don West is saying that Harrison Storm came into the match week, or the match last week, stone cold. And he literally goes, stone cold. Don't imitate Jim Ross.
Yeah.
You suck as an announcer. Why are you trying to imitate the best one out there?
Agreed.
I can't stand him. The Johnsons double team slam on Storm. And one of the military presses... military presses him, and well, he's holding him up, tags his partner, and then military press slams him.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's impressive as you're holding the guy up, just get a tag
and
then slam him down. Johnson's hit double suplex, and then he goes for a suplex, but he gets reversed. Like, Storm goes for like an arm drag, but he turns it into like a neck breaker. It looked really, really awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a good worker.
No,
the
Johnsons as a whole just seem very sloppy.
Oh, very
like, not crisp.
Like,
at
I even wrote hit it arm drag neck breaker, and I put a question mark because it looked like an arm drag into a neck breaker reversal. It looked really weird.
And it sucks because Harris and Storm, that was my first time really seeing them.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, they could both go. Like, I quite enjoyed watching those two wrestle.
Yeah. James Storm and Chris Harris both turned into one of the best tag teams TNA has ever produced.
Right.
And James Storm actually had a small few week run in NXT.
Oh, okay.
And they're both really good quality workers.
They
at
seemed
this
it.
Point.
Yeah. Whereas the Johnsons, like honestly, like, and I don't mean this to offend anyone that's listening to this that's like a new wrestler, but the Johnsons to me came across as a pair of like brand new indie guys that were just trying to get
but
through
they
a
had,
match.
They were Jeff Jarrett's like muscle in WCW.
Yeah, like, and they've been around. I didn't realize they were the Harrises. I'm like, yeah, they've been around.
They're the Harrises.
They were terrible.
Yeah,
sloppy.
They look so bad. And I've seen them have good matches. Never good, but have halfway decent matches in WCW, and they look bad. Especially working against two good workers, they look bad.
Yeah, which they shouldn't have.
So the one of the Johnsons gets tagged in. They hit a double clothesline. Then Johnson's run Storm into the corner. They start stomping in the corner. Then the other tags, one of one tags the other Johnson back in, and then double back body drop.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnson slams one of the Johnsons, slams Storm. They goes to the second rope, but Storm like runs up, hits him in the legs, and then Storm ends up super kicking the Johnson when he falls down, and then tags in Harris. So Harris is back in the match. I tried to go through the whole thing. Yeah. See, you're a little confused.
No, I got it. I'm trying to forget it, but
I'm not going to let you forget it. I'm burning this into your memory. Both Johnsons are in. Harris is punching both, but then he doesn't get the comeback spot. They just knock him down.
Yeah.
Which is really counterproductive to Storm having selling for so long. Tags Harris supposed to come in and get the hero spot.
Yeah.
But he comes in, hits them both, and then bam, they knock him down.
Which is wrestling 101, right? The hot tag.
Hot
and then
tag
that guy
and
unloads.
And unloads and usually goes into your finish and it's over.
Right.
But then Storm comes back in, fights one off, and then does that where he runs over and like kind of like tackles him over the top Mick Foley style clothesline thing. Yeah. So the other Johnson and the Harris, the Johnson has Harris on his shoulders. But Harris gets down, hits a spear. And Harris is reversed off the an Irish whip into the corner, but leaps off the second rope and does leaps over him and then kind of onto his back and leans on the front and hits crossbody, but caught like he holds him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Storm just, he's off camera. Then you see him fly into the picture, just hits the missile dropkick, and then it's over.
Yeah.
One, two, three. I'm like, that was the most anticlimactic finish to a semifinal in a tag team tournament.
That's what I was literally just going to say. Incredibly anti. Like, I didn't like, I thought this match could have been good. I had no doubt in my mind that Harris and Storm are going to win. Like, yeah. No doubt in my mind. But I'm like, you have these two big goobers that look identical. They should be cheating. They should be switching in and out.
And Mortimer should be getting a lot more involved.
Mortimer should totally be getting involved. You know, maybe have them take a bump or something like yeah. that, you know? That match could have been a lot better than it was.
Very much so. You know? But I think it's the thing about being booked by a guy and agents who weren't quite knowing how to book a proper tag team match.
Like, because, like, to me, a good tag team match is the perfect opening to a wrestling show.
Oh, very much.
Get
so.
Everyone into it, and that's what this could have been. And then you have the baby faces pull out the win and have them, like, celebrating. Like, we just beat these two guys. Like, that should have set the tempo. And it
yeah,
didn't
and then
at
they
all.
Just they just bailed to the floor real fast and
yeah.
to run off.
Yeah.
And then, as and this, so this match went 4 minutes and 43 seconds.
It felt longer than that.
Oh, it did. There's a lot of stuff on this show that feels longer than it did.
It sure does.
This is mainly the first time I'm mentioning this. TNA was doing this in the early days. They would turn the lights down in the and like all the house lights off mm-hmm. or down. Then they just put the spotlights on the girls in cages dancing. So this is the first spot of girls in cages dancing.
Why? Okay. I understand you need to do something, especially because they don't have commercials. So I get you need to do something between matches.
Yeah.
Why are you not just going to the play-by-play guys to let them talk for a minute?
Yeah,
like every other wrestling event
they
ever.
They can hype up the next match. They can hype up the next segment. They can hype up whatever
Here's
it is.
Some awful PG, somewhat stripping dancing. Well, I noticed they're in those cages for the whole show.
Yeah.
They're just standing in the cages during
like,
the matches.
If you see in the background that certain camera angles, they're just the girls are just kind of like standing there, like just resting. Just,
what a joke! It was so dumb.
I don't get it. It's the Nitro Girls effect, is what I call it.
Right?
Because this is TNA still wanting to be Nitro from the past, but
the Nitro Girls were at least okay.
They
though.
Came out and did dancing like. As much as I was shitting on the World Wrestling All-Stars for their starrettes,
yeah,
because they literally had girls come out dancing, was way better than the girls in cages dancing.
Oh, it was so bad.
It wasn't even dancing. It's just them like shaking their body.
They're trying to strip, but in a PG way.
They're trying to strip, but they can't take their clothes off. That's what it was. It annoyed the piss out of me.
Awful.
So from there, we cut to Jeremy Borash, and he brings out wrestling's, as he called, they call them, wrestling's real outlaw, Scott Hall.
I'm not gonna lie to you. This, I mean, granted, there's only been one shitty match before this, but this I popped a little bit because I love Scott Hall.
He's a guy who got so shortchanged in his career.
Yeah,
never got a world title run. Never really got the respect he deserved for being who he was in the Revolution of Wrestling.
Agree. I loved Razor. He was my favorite member of the NWO.
Oh,
when
definitely.
I saw, I didn't even realize he was on this because I knew nothing about it.
Oh yeah.
So when
he had a nice little run in because he would he had come back earlier to the WWE early in the year.
Yeah.
When Vince had brought the NWO in, and then he had his issues as he does every time he would go to the WWE, and he got fired for drinking and all this other stuff, and then you got the abortion that was the NWO in the WWE.
It was great seeing him, and I loved how blatantly rip off of the Razor Ramon theme his music was.
Oh, the music on this show annoys the piss out of me because I watched TNA 2004 through to now. I still watch it once in a blue moon now, and the music was I always was into identified all these guys with the music, and most of them don't have their music except for Jeff Jarrett.
I'll get into fucking Jeff Jarrett. But anyway.
No. We're about to get into Jeff Jarrett.
I know.
So Scott Hall comes out. He says, hey, yo. But then immediately Jeff Jarrett just comes out.
Okay. Like, there are wrestlers you hate because they're bad guys. And there are wrestlers you hate because they're awful. And I don't care who you are, who's listening to this. If you want to argue with me, I'm on Twitter at AdamBlank17. Come at me. Jeff Jarrett is the shits. He is
garbage.
Terrible. And the only time he ever gets anywhere near a main event or the top of the card is when there's no one else available, like WCW near the end, or when he owns or partially owns the fucking company. You are shit.
WWE was the smartest company how they booked him. They kept him mid-card, and that's where he belonged.
He was never honky-tonk a main eventer. 2.0.
Or he had Vince Russo making his buddy Vince Russo. Oh, Jesus.
I hate Jeff Jarrett.
And he, so Jarrett says, "Hey, yo, my ass. No one wants to see you," because he's saying this to Hall.
Yeah.
"And you should leave, bitch." He literally says bitch.
Like, it's he's like, trying to be badass.
Hall says Jarrett can't hang with him. And he says, Jarrett comes down the ring. He's like, he wants to fight right then and there. And out comes Mr. Jim Miller, like, just out of nowhere, and just to stop him.
Okay, which, now...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, this was another one of my problems with the booking of this pay-per-view. You have Jarrett come out, call Scott Hall a bitch, try to be Mr. Stone Cold Country, and then the president comes out and like, "Hey, you're not doing this here." And Jeff Jarrett's like, "Okay."
Yeah, okay. He just backs off.
I was like, no, that's not how you do it. Like,
that bothered me so much. I think it also worked in the fact that Jarrett backed off because K-Crush came out of the crowd. Or as he's known, now known, R-Truth. So K-Crush comes out the crowd and attacks Hall from behind, but Hall actually catches Crush, and he picks him up and hits an outsider's edge, or goes for the outsider's edge.
Yeah.
But he gets out of it, but then he ends up hitting a fallaway slam.
Yeah.
It's just like, why go to the fallaway slam? Just do the outsider's edge, and you get the crowd pop. The fallaway slam is not going to get the pop.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just
once he got out of the outsider's edge, he should have bailed out of the ring. Like, he's going to be the heel, just be like, whoa. For the record, too, and that's another thing that made me pop, is whether you want to call him Ron Killing. Is it Killings?
So
R-Truth, K-Crush.
He was, I can't remember what he was in his early WWE days.
K-Quick.
Yeah. Then he became K-Crush here. Then in, like, I think 2 or 3 pay-per-views, he becomes Ron Killings.
I love
literally, he drops the name, like, week 6 or 7.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love seeing him in the top of the... Because I think he's as underutilized as anyone has been in a long time.
I understand today he's not... Like, you wouldn't want to put him in main events today.
But he's great. He's an entertaining dude. Oh, he can wrestle.
He is a lower mid-card guy nowadays who's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's made me really enjoy Carmella.
Me too.
Over this whole Mismatch Classic stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I've loved those two together.
So I loved seeing him get a chance to be in the main event.
This guy is a guy who becomes an NWA champion at one point. He does become champion.
Good.
And like, he gets opportunities in this company he never would anywhere else.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, I thought.
Yeah. But that segment was dumb. Jarrett's a bitch, and he should have bailed once he got out of the outsider's edge. He should have chicken shitted
and then Hall clotheslined K-Crush out of the ring, and it was over.
Yeah.
So they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
It's a common theme.
Trust me, this is what I do every podcast. It comes up multiple times every show.
I'm sure it does.
So they cut to the back, and they keep calling her Goldie, but it's Goldilocks. That's her actual gimmick name. Mm-hmm. Is in James Storm and Chris Harris's locker room, and they've been attacked. Like, James Storm's bloody. Chris Harris is kind of like sitting in a chair, kind of like waving himself around in a chair. It was all weird.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had been attacked too. But they mentioned later on
they both had been attacked.
Yeah.
Or then why didn't Chris Harris just get a tag team partner later on if they hadn't both
been
attacked?
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
When I first did the notes, I thought, oh, James Storm has been attacked. But then later on, they're talking about it, and they say both men got attacked. And I'm like, oh, so I changed my notes.
Yeah.
It confused me.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So, and then, so they cut back to the ring, and it's time for the next match of the evening. It is a man who's already in the ring, Anthony Ingram. I'm not familiar with this guy. If anybody knows who he is, let me know on Twitter, @ThatCanadaGuy. Taking on the debuting alpha male Monty Brown.
Yeah.
Now, when the music hit, I thought Abyss was coming out because he was coming out to Abyss's music.
Well, I didn't know it was Abyss's music.
Monty Brown had Abyss's music before Abyss had it. I was thinking, I didn't think Abyss was here yet.
Classic.
And it's just coming out to music, and I'm like, what the hell? And then see Monty Brown, I'm like, well, at least we get Monty Brown.
Yeah.
Which who did actually get a WWE run, but got handily misused there, in my opinion. Like, his whole ECW run, Marcus Corvon or whatever
that thing was.
Terrible, but he did really well, I think, in TNA. He was one of their better performers here.
Cool.
And he was one of their few, like, homegrown talents. Like, he had never wrestled. He had come off work just playing in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what they kept saying, yeah.
So, I don't think he was ever, like, a high-end player. Like, I think he was, like, practice roster and, like just maybe get a down or two in a game kind of player.
Right.
Player, but I don't think. I could be very wrong about that. But he was one of the guys they produced a good wrestler out of, which TNA, a lot of them was grabbing old stars or grabbing guys from other companies.
Right.
And he was one of the few, they produced some really good homegrown talent, but He was one of their, and I really always really liked him. I thought he always should have got a world title run, which he never did get. And I think he could have been, I think he could have been a star for Vince, but I think it was the TNA stink on him.
We could, you could do a 2-hour podcast about guys that Vince has brought in and ruined.
Oh, like, very much so.
So this
and,
is
or not guys even, he's bringing up now and ruining.
Yeah, it's not even a surprise.
Oh yeah. So, Ingram's already in the ring. Monty Brown comes out and he says, "There can be only one, and there's only one reason he's here, and it's for Ken Shamrock and the NWA title." So your first match, and you're facing a jobber, and you're already trying to challenge a champion.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's a good way to get him in. You show he's already serious.
Yep.
So Brown just rushes into the ring, just starts beating the crap out of Ingram.
Yep.
Trust me, my notes on this match are very short. Brown whips Ingram into the corner, hits a fisherman suplex. And then Brown goes to whip Ingram to the corner, but gets reversed. Ingram goes for like what it looked like. You jumped up, hit like the stinger splash.
Yeah.
Where Brown just catches him.
Mm-hmm.
Power slam.
Yeah.
Like he gave him nothing. Like Ingram got nothing in this match. Brown does this like handsome, like don't know what it was. It looked all weird. He was like opening his fingers, but it was, I don't know what he was doing.
Like
was,
a like, claw kind of.
Like a claw, weird claw yeah. thing. I don't know what the heck it was. He goes, "Time for the Alpha Bomb." So he picks him up into a carry position, like in front of him, like a World's Strongest Slam. Then just up, power bomb. It's over.
I thought that was rad.
Yeah. It is one of the... I'll say this. And then he would adopt the pounce later on, where it's just a running tackle.
Okay.
Like you throw the guy in the ropes, he hit the ropes, and he was just tackle. I was hoping to see the pounce. But that Alpha Bomb looked great.
It did.
It would become his, like, signet, one of his, like, setup moves for the pounce, but yeah, I always really liked it.
Honestly, dude, like because it was a classic squash match, right? Like the jobber, oh, yeah. Like it's when one guy's already in the ring,
you know, and it's a squash,
right? And then this other guy comes out, they're hyping him up, and he's huge. I was like, I know what this is gonna be, but I actually had no problem with, like, honestly, after watching that. I mean, I guess I kind of had an issue with him asking for the title right away, but like whatever. Yeah,
but that's
but you
that's
said it whatever. Gets him over, right?
Yeah, it gets him over. Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm like, yeah, that's
but you
sure.
And with that promo, you realize they want to make this guy a star.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You realize they want to make him a star.
Yeah, I really didn't have any big problems with this. It was just a classic squash match. Get the new guy over. Yeah, so fine.
Monty Brown wins it in 1:33. Yeah, I take the times on all these
matches.
No,
that's good. Honestly, like for what that was going to be, that's long enough.
Yeah.
I don't need a 4 or 5 minute squash
match. No, for a squash, a minute and a half is more than enough.
Yeah.
So they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
Of course.
As it is. So they cut to that.
Sorry. Just, I'll be really quick on this. I love how every time they show the girls in cages dancing, they have their upcoming dates scrolling along the bottom, but they're not mentioning them.
And then they're like promoting stuff that's coming up. And it's just, and most of the time you're just like, you're not even paying attention. You're just like, okay, this is where I can grab something.
Right. And if anything, you're watching the girl dancing. You're not looking at the dates on the bottom of the screen. It's so dumb.
It makes no sense. So we cut to the back, and Goldilocks is in the, and she's talking to random guys. Just like, I don't know who these three dudes are. They're just all wearing NWA shirts.
Yeah.
And she's saying she can't find Jim Miller, the president.
Yeah.
She stops. Actually, there's two guys in tights walk by. That's Chase Stevens and Cassidy O'Reilly.
Oh, okay.
One of them would become part of the tag team, the Naturals. I think they actually were the Naturals and they replaced Cassidy O'Reilly, but...
They wrestled that dark match.
Yeah, they were one of the guys in the dark match. Okay. They wrestled Team Canada, Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no idea. Then Puppet shows up. Puppet the Midget.
I love Puppet.
So this isn't the first time Puppet's shown up. He was in a promo on the first NWA, and then he was actually on a couple of the WWA pay-per-views that we reviewed.
Okay.
And he's a hardcore midget.
He's awesome.
Also, he's known as the Midget Killer.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Puppet the Psycho Dwarf, Puppet the Midget Killer. I loved him so much.
I
popped. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so Puppet shows up and he says he wants to beat some midget ass. Yeah. And don't get him offended if I'm saying midget here. I'm quoting the guy.
We're quoting him, yeah.
So he calls out Gary Coleman, Mini-Me, and the drunk midget from the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, on one of the WWE pay-per-views, they said Puppet already had a match with Gary Coleman. They were trying to pretend like he'd already fought Gary Coleman. Now he's challenging him. It was weird. It was weird, kind of backwards mentality.
The most enjoyable 30 seconds of the pay-per-view so far.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
And then he says he wants to see a midget bleed, and that's a promise. And then Goldie kind of just looks, she looks disgusted. Like, she's like, what the fuck is up with this little freak? And then, and because like the entire promo, he's spitting, if you watch it, he's spitting in her face.
Spitting all over. Yeah.
Oh, it was gross. So we cut back to ringside, and it is the second of it's the second semifinal match, I guess. The NWA tag team title qualification match. The Rainbow Express, Lenny and Bruce, no longer Lenny and Lodi because he got hurt. So you got Lenny and Bruce. The former Funkster Alan Funk is Bruce. He was one of my favorite characters. The Funk. He did this great Hogan impression, but he is now Bruce with Joel Gertner.
Yep.
ECW legend Joel Gertner.
Yep.
Taking on Apollo and Buff the Stuff Bagwell.
I love Buff Bagwell. I know a lot of people hate him. I love Buff Bagwell.
I love Buff Bagwell until he gets into a wrestling ring.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I love his character. I love his entrance. Oh, yeah. I love the laugh,
he's
the hat.
So over the top.
Yeah.
But once he gets into a ring, like, and this guy at one point was actually a halfway decent wrestler.
I was thoroughly,
but,
yeah.
But at this point, not so much.
This is a man
who became a gigolo.
Oh, fuck.
Or no,
his mom was on a pole match.
Yeah, he's not actually a gigolo. He did a show. There's a show on Showtime called Gigolos. And they offered him like $20,000 to do an episode of this show. Like, this is only 3 or 4 years ago.
They
put a pro. There's and I've only learned this from listening to him doing an interview about it. The site called CowboysForAngels.com. His profile is on there to hire guys to fuck you or whatever, right? And like his profile's on that website, I think, still to this day. And it might be pulled down now. I was listening to an interview from earlier this year, but yeah, he was on, and he legit went on the show, and he actually you find out it's simulated sex on this show, right? And it's everybody's naked. They do simulated sex, like they're pretending to fuck with it. And he actually, after it was done, he's like, dude, I couldn't get hard, I couldn't fuck her. He's like, what are you talking about? You weren't supposed to. You were supposed to pretend. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. He actually thought he was supposed to actually fuck the girl, but he couldn't get hard because he's married. The dude was legit married at the time.
It makes you wonder how his whole career would have changed if that Booker T Buff match from Raw hadn't sucked.
Oh,
that ended his career, was that.
Oh, I think there was also backstage politics that affected that because he'd been ripping on WWE for years. But
that was the...
Oh, very much so.
Okay, so it's the Rainbow Express against Buff and Apollo.
Yeah. So you got in the back, Buff and Apollo do a promo with Goldilocks saying, yeah, they're the next tag team champions and all this shit.
Yeah.
Apollo doesn't even say it. I don't think Apollo says a word except for yup.
Yeah. Well, no, because there's a part where he tries to step in and then Buff steps back in
and
front
then
of
Buff
him, right?
He's like, no, I'm taking, this is my promo time.
Now, see, this I didn't have a problem with either, because that to me is just, that's good wrestling. You have this guy, one guy
and
wants
Apollo,
to be a team, and the other guy's an arrogant dickhead who's like, I'm the
Apollo
star.
Was never a good promo to me, even hearing him later on in his career. Never a good promo to me. So Buff taking all the promo time in this, I was perfectly fine.
I had no problem with
he
that
promo.
He
is one of my favorite characters in pro wrestling I've ever had.
Yep.
So Buff, when he comes out, is still getting a good pop. Like, the crowd, he was probably the most over of anybody in this team.
He's a name, yeah.
Yeah. So they lock up. Buff gets the advantage, ending with a hip toss. Buff starts doing his poses. Then Bruce just comes in and starts attacking him. Because, come on, you don't just start posing. Like, and this match is it tells the arrogance of Bruce or of Buff, the Stuff Bagwell.
Yeah.
How he keeps doing things and then posing or all that other stuff. So
I thought it was a good concept, just executed poorly. It came across as very tacky.
Yeah.
But I get where they were trying to go, as Buff is too full of himself, right?
Yeah.
So I get that.
And get it. He's the big star coming in to do this match.
Right.
So Bruce whips at Buff into the corner, but Buff ends up doing the up and over, like you run to the corner and he hops up and over him or whatever.
Yeah.
As he runs in and gets the advantage back. And then the camera cuts to Alicia coming down to the ring. Now, Alicia has been on the last two episodes where she's just come down randomly during matches and trying to get money out of people. She was interrogating Slick Johnson, one of the referees, on the first episode. She got money out of Jeremy Borash on the second episode. I'm pretty sure this is Ryan Shamrock. She was originally known as Ryan Shamrock.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I swear to God, she's a whore. Like, she must be a whore. A hooker or something. Sorry to be crude, but she's got to be a hooker or something, just taking money from these guys. Especially when she gets to Ed Ferrara. So they cut back to the ring, and Bruce has the advantage again. And he gets Buff to his corner. And then this is one that Don West is always bitching about, is when they kiss each other's hands for the tag.
So you know what? Okay, I understand that this pay-per-view was 2004.
Oh, 2002.
Oh, 2002, and I understand things were different back then. But, like, the whole the only reason we should boo them is because they're gay shtick.
But also remember, they're doing this in the southern states.
I get
in
that.
Nashville.
But like when Goldust did it in the mid-90s, it was controversial and different, you know?
But this, and again, this is TNA is still trying to be controversial and everything when things aren't that controversial
that
anymore.
Came across as very hacky to me, and it's just dumb.
So Lenny Tech comes in and he does he just puts his hand up to Buff. I don't know why. Just stops him and goes like this. Puts his hand up and is like, don't talk to the hand. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And then he starts attacking him. But then they cut to Alicia again and she's with Ed Ferrara. And he actually just, unlike the other two where she was having to bully them to give her money, he just pulls his money out and hands it to her.
You Ed Ferrara.
I don't like Ed Ferrara and never thought he was good. He annoys the crap out of me on commentary. I can't wait until the day I get to an episode where he's no longer on commentary. Oh, I can't stand the guy. So back in the ring, Apollo's got tagged in somewhere. And he's fighting with Lenny and Bruce. He gets a spine buster on Lenny for a two count. Now, Apollo, I was always impressed by. I thought nothing of a talker, but I'm surprised Vince never signed him up.
He seemed like a pretty serviceable worker.
Big dude, muscly. Other than the not being able to talk thing, which I think Vince could have got around, it looks like Vince's wet dream.
Hey, he seemed like a very, very competent wrestler, yeah.
Yeah. So Lenny chops Apollo, but he just kind of no-sells it and then just picks up Lenny and slams him.
Yeah.
Which is actually it makes sense because Lenny is a small dude. And him chopping Apollo makes sense for him not to sell it, right? Kind of does. It really does. So Bruce gets a distraction. Lenny hits a DDT, gets a two count. Lenny gets Apollo to the corner, tags him Bruce again with their kiss thing. I don't give a crap, but... And Bruce stomps Apollo in the corner. And Bruce just tags Lenny back in. They do hop over the back spot. And Lenny goes and hit... Lenny hops over the back and kind of bulldogs him down. Lenny gets a two count. Apollo does the clothesline... And hits probably one of my favorite moves, the full Nelson slam.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most basic moves, but it looks so impactful. You get him a full Nelson, lift him up, and just slam him down.
Yeah.
I've always liked that move. It's a move I always put on my guys in my wrestling games. It's a simple,
it looks
effective
real.
Move. Yeah.
It just looks like a strong, real move. Yeah.
Yeah. Bruce and Buff both tag in. Bruce and Buff both tag in. Then Buff beats up on Lenny and Bruce. And then Buff, he goes to do, again, that Cactus Jack over the top, tackle you over the top rope.
Yeah.
And he hits him, but he just falls down.
They just botched it
and then
fell
Lenny
over
just,
or something.
Lenny, you could see Lenny kind of sitting there and he's like, uh-oh. And he just flips himself over the top rope to the other. I'm like, he should have dropped with Buff and they should have just rolled to the other. Yeah. It was really, really weird.
It was very cringy, yeah.
And they both roll the outside. They roll the outside. So Apollo's in the ring with Bruce and Apollo ducks the clothesline and hits a super kick. Apollo picks up Bruce. Hits the TKO, but Lenny gets back in and attacks Apollo and gets Apollo to the outside. Buff comes in, hits the Buff blockbuster on Lenny, then hits a suit and that or hits a Buff blockbuster, and then Lenny hits a super kick to Buff.
Yeah,
and it's just over.
That was okay. So that was
Buff blockbuster. Ninja is posing or whatever.
That was
right?
So awful. I know the blockbuster is his finisher.
Yeah.
But he hits it, and then he even looks at whichever one kicks him for a second, then turns, does his pose.
Yeah, Lenny,
then turns back
hit,
and gets
he hit
kicked.
It on Bruce.
And I'm like, you're not making me believe that Buff's an egotistical maniac. You're making me believe he's an idiot.
Yeah, because he stands up after hitting the Buff blockbuster. As I always hate that name too. Should have been the Buff Buster.
Oh yeah!
It would have been he hit the Buff Buster.
Yeah,
it rolls off the tongue so much more.
It was
well.
Such a
and then he looks at him, turns around, poses, then he turns around again.
It
and
was
gets
so
kicked.
Obvious what was going to happen. Like to me, if you want to book it that they lost because of Buff's arrogance,
yeah.
Like you know what? Have Apollo need a tag, and then when he goes for the hot tag, have Buff be like flexing or something and not paying attention.
Yeah, that would.
And Apollo
sense.
Can't make the tag, and then Apollo gets pinned.
Yeah.
I
also think they were protecting Apollo because they wanted to make him a star. So,
but that
Buff
was,
taking the pin didn't surprise me in this.
The way they did it was ridiculous.
Oh, it was so stupid.
Just
so
hacky.
The winner, you get the winners, Rainbow Express, Lenny and Bruce, at 5 minutes and 48 seconds.
Felt longer again.
Again.
Yeah.
Another match that felt way longer. Post-match, Buff, you can look, he's looking all distraught and everything. So they actually end up interviewing Buff, and he says he's no longer wants to be called Buff and just call him Marcus.
Yeah.
Because originally he was Marcus and Alexander Bagwell.
Yep.
He literally says he's pissed because he lost these two gay guys.
That bothered me.
I was
that
like,
was so dumb.
Really,
like,
do you have to say that?
I understand again that times were different back then, but that was such a cheesy,
it was
tacky,
still the 2000s,
half-assed
like,
promo.
It was still the 2000s. You don't need to make that comment.
No,
and I
made a note here too. While the Rainbow Express were making their entrance, one of the commentators said this was the team that was too controversial for WWE.
Neither were
and
ever.
It's like,
ever
what are you talking
WWE.
About? No, they weren't good enough for WWE.
Yeah, neither were good
Such
enough.
Such a WWE. Stupid thing to say.
Yes, Lenny was friends with Jericho because they came up together.
Right.
But, like, WWE never would have taken either of these
Just
guys.
Ridiculous.
No, there's no way.
So I'm sorry. So Buff is crying and he's
Buff's
Marcus
crying
now.
And he says two gay guys and then Buff. And then, so the character of Buff has ruined his career and he's going home. Simple as that. So, what do they follow up with? More girls in cages
more girls
dancing.
In cages.
Like they don't even cut well in TNA. Like there's
not at all,
and it's such abrupt cuts. Like there's not like they let a moment play out or like him getting off the ring. Kind of if the camera had followed him walking to the back, it would make you feel for the character or something.
What should have happened is they shouldn't have had such a cheesy finish, and then Buff loses. Buff goes to the back angry, and then that Goldie girl catches up with him as he's leaving or something.
And that's when you
and
do
then
the
he goes, I'm sick of being Buff. I'm Marcus. I'm done. I'm going home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, sure. Like, let's see what he does.
And that
now.
Makes sense because you see the disappointment in him. But here you see, he cuts the promo, gets off the ring, and then they cut.
It was very half-assed.
That's a problem TNA still has this day is not being able to know how to go to the next segment properly.
Very half-assed.
Yeah. So more girls in cages dancing. Then Jeremy Borash is in the ring. And he brings out NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ken Shamrock. So you're familiar with Shamrock
very
from his
much.
Run in WWE.
I like Ken Shamrock.
Yeah. And he says he's confused. Says he doesn't care about Monty Brown. Said he should be careful what he wishes for because he may have a short career in the NWA. Three, 4 years? End up having a career there? He starts talking about facing Malice. And then he says after he beats Malice, he has to face a Japanese guy. And it's Omari.
Way to sell it.
Yeah. Way to sell the title defense the week after. I got to face a Japanese guy. I think he like mumbles the name Omari or something because he couldn't say it.
Yeah.
And then he says he'll deal with Monty Brown. So he's like you're my back. You're like my burner that I haven't even turned on guy yet.
Yeah.
That's what he's essentially implying about Monty Brown, a guy you're trying to build.
Yeah.
But the lights go out, and James Mitchell is up standing somewhere in the arena. And he comes out and he says, Ken should not worry about Monty Brown, which obviously he's not, because he said he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Which made no sense. And he should worry about Malice. They cut back to Shamrock, and the lights kind of go on, just in one spot. And Malice attacks him and beats the crap out of him.
But they never show the attack. Do they? Don't they just...
No,
the lights come on
back,
and Ken's just laying
there. Yeah, they
cut
on, and they show Malice kind of walking away.
What a half-assed fuck.
And it's not even... They didn't even light the place. Like, they just turned a spotlight onto them.
Yeah. So he's just laying there hurt.
And it's like... But you see Malice walking away, though, which pisses me off. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And so they call out the M&Ts, and they're all tending to him. They put, like, a neck brace on his neck, and they cut away.
Okay, now this... Literally, if you can look at my book, Ken Shamrock... Neck brace, which they don't explain anything to do with his neck. They just decide, well, we better put a neck brace on him.
Well, they're trying to sell the
And I realize that now. This was when I wrote, I made this note. This is one of the most half-assed wrestling programs I've ever seen.
Yeah, it show us Malice picking him up and slamming him. Because his move is the choke slam.
Right.
His finish.
Right.
So in reality, what you're...
Give him your finish.
What you're supposed to take away from this, which I didn't at the time, only after post and thinking about it, you're supposed to think, oh, he hit him with a choke slam.
Sure, but then show the... like.
But you've only established his choke slam for like the last two episodes. That's it.
This pay-per-view feels like they just have like... They have like a deck of like basic wrestling angles.
Yeah.
And then for each segment, they just draw a card.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're doing this one. It seems so half-assed.
Yeah, I was so annoyed by this. And then so they cut to the backstage and... with Goldie, and she's with the NWA Vice President Bill Behrens, and saying, and it, Jerry Lynn comes in. He says, because AMW got attacked, said, "Hey, put me in the tournament. I'll get him. I get myself a partner." And like Bill Behrens couldn't give a shit about him,
right?
Like, all and it's like, okay, this is one of your main stars of your X division, and you're about to put him in a tag team title situation. You should give him more shit about this guy.
Okay, but like,
who is a legitimate legend in this business?
Oh, he's awesome. But like, when I saw him, I was like, fuck yeah. But like, so to me, like this, I won't lie to you. Like, I just expected him. I mean, maybe this is how it ends up playing out, but I expected it to come out that Jerry Lynn attacked these guys to get into the tournament.
That would make sense.
And it's like, and I really just expected that.
I'm
Harris,
not sure. I haven't looked at it either. So
I hope that's what happened.
Me
and
too.
And I just expect that. I really expected that Harris and Storm would wrestle. I thought they'd be back.
Yeah, me too.
They would do that underdog. We're beat up. We fight anyways.
Yeah. So we cut back to the ring, and it's time for the midget hardcore match, as they call it, the midget hardcore match.
Yeah.
So out comes Puppet the Psycho Dwarf. Puppet says, he says, it's time for a midget. He says, a midget wants to talk. He says he wants to kill a midget tonight, and he wants to see some midget blood. So out comes, I don't know, I wrote it down as Tom Stone, but I don't know if it was Tom or Todd.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Because I swear they said Tom at one point, but I'm pretty sure I heard Todd at one point. So you get Tom Stone, who's just the most random ass midget, like, and they said he was 4'9", so he's just on the edge of being a midget, isn't he?
Yeah, and when he made his entrance, like, I didn't know who he was, but when he came out, I'm like, oh, fuck, this guy's like, I'm not going to take your shit, and I thought we were going to get a match. I thought we were
getting something serious.
Yeah.
So Tom Stone, he's on the apron looking at Puppet, then he goes to get in under the second rope, and just gets cracked with a kendo stick.
Yeah.
He gets beat the hell out, and Puppet gets a trash can and starts beating the shit out of a trash can. He scoop slams him onto the garbage can. Then he puts him inside, like, puts the garbage can over his head and just starts beating the garbage can with the kendo stick.
Yeah.
So just basic early 2000s hardcore match.
Yeah, yeah. It was entertaining for what it was.
Yeah. One of the, I'd say, the higher points of the night for me.
Yeah, it really was, actually, yeah.
So he hits it, so, and then he takes the can off, hits like a TKO, look like.
Yeah, kind
of. Onto the garbage can, gets the pin.
Yeah.
Match went 1:55.
Long enough.
Yeah, more than long enough. And then as Slick Johnson's trying to hold up the Puppet's hand, Puppet just grabs a kendo stick and beating the crap out of the ref.
This was the highlight of the show for me, or one of, was just Puppet beating the shit out of everybody with this kendo stick.
And then Jerry Borash is announcing, he starts smacking Jeremy Borash, and then Don West is yelling shit, so Puppet gets out of the ring, he's like, congrats, little guy!
Congrats, little guy!
And he just starts smacking Don West, he's like, what the hell? I love Don West get hit. That was great.
That was hilarious. When he's like, congrats, little guy! And he starts beating him with his kendo stick.
I loved it so much.
Highlight of the pay-per-view for me thus far. This part.
So guess what they cut to?
Girls in the cages dancing.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes, sir.
And then they cut to Goldie in the back, and she's trying to ask the EMTs for any updates on Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what the fuck? If his neck's that bad, why didn't you take him to a hospital? That's what I didn't understand. Why the EMT is working on him in the back?
He already doesn't have a neck brace on. He's just sitting there holding his head.
It's terrible. So they cut to a recap of the lingerie battle, Francine in the lingerie battle royal the previous week.
As soon as I heard a lingerie battle royal, I rolled my eyes.
Like, trust me. And they got their case. Okay, so in the first first episode was a preview where they had all the girls out. Then they did the lingerie battle royal the next week, and now they have this.
Now, for the record, like, I'm okay with the fact, like, because this was the bra and panty match era.
Oh, very much so.
This wasn't like we have today with the Evolution. But that said, to find out they booked a lingerie battle royal,
which did feature Mickie James as Alexis Lurie.
I love Mickie James. But I was like, this is classic in 2002, shit wrestling.
Oh, very much so. So they're going on to their fifth match of the evening. And it is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, versus the girl who won the Battle Royal, to become Miss TNA, Taylor Vaughn.
Right.
So, to me, this match never actually started, but it had an ending, because there was no opening bell.
No.
So, I did do a time for this match.
Sure.
But I did it off of when Francine started whipping Taylor.
Okay, now
that seemed to be the start of it.
Okay, finish your thing, and then I'll ask my question.
Then Francine essentially just starts whipping Taylor with a leather belt over and over till the ref takes it away. Then Taylor gets the belt from the ref and starts whipping Francine. And then the ref pulls her off and starts whipping the ref, and he calls for the bell.
So she got disqualified for hitting the ref.
Yeah.
But neither one got disqualified for hitting each other with the belt.
I guess it was a strap match.
And they never got disqualified from a match that never started.
Yeah.
What a terrible segment.
Went 1 minute, 1 second. That was a minute too long.
A minute too long. God.
1 second would have been more than awful. So Ed Ferrar goes in the ring because he has this thing with Francine going on. And he gets in and he raises her hand. And if you saw the recap video, he had grabbed her tit the week before and then she beat the crap out of him.
Yep.
And the belt she has is supposed to be Ed Ferrara's belt.
His belt, yeah.
So she legitimately just pulls his hand down and puts it on her tit. And she gives him a look, and he's like, oh yeah. She smacks him, starts whipping him with the belt.
This was another segment where I'm like, so who's the heel?
Because
the girl that won the battle royal should be the babyface, and Francine lost, and she's mad, and she's beating her with the belt. She's the heel, but then Ferreira is like molesting her.
Yeah.
So then is she the? I was like, who am I cheering for? Here?
I was. Oh man, this is TNA to a nutshell.
Have Miss TNA come out, cut a promo about how happy she is that she's Miss TNA. Have Francine jump her and beat her up with the belt.
That's simple.
All you have to do.
And you get your clear here. You get your clear face where Francine,
right?
But you make Francine look like a victim. That's the problem. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying okay, but you're confused, you're blurring the lines.
I don't know who to cheer for at all. I'm not cheering for any of you. I'm cheering for this to end.
Oh yeah. So they cut back to the they cut to the stage, and Jeremy Borash brings out Hermie Sadler, who is a race car driver. NASCAR driver.
Oh yeah, I got this.
And he's been on the last two episodes. Like, he showed up in the first one. They were talking with some other dude. He cornered Brian Christopher the week before, and now he's out here. Hermie's thanking the crowd and all that crap. But K Crush comes out and he says nobody wants to hear about you or your race car driving, which I agreed with. But
totally agreed.
The crowd was booing pretty loudly because you got to remember this is Southern United States where NASCAR is huge.
Same thing. I didn't know if I was supposed to be cheering or booing for K Crush here.
Booing K. He's the heel, I guess.
Because I was cheering for him.
Me too. Because he got this guy to shut up.
Yeah.
And. And he goes, he doesn't care. None of these people care. He says, you want a piece of this? And then Hermie attacks K-Crush, and they pulled apart. K-Crush challenges them. Hermie accepts, and they're going to have a match next week.
So now, I've never watched TNA. I'm watching this. K-Crush is one of your main eventers.
Yeah.
And in the first hour, I saw him jump Scott Hall, only to get beat up by Scott Hall.
Yep.
Then come out and confront a NASCAR driver and get beat up by a NASCAR driver.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, I totally buy into you as a main event.
Yeah, total main eventer, right?
Ridiculous. Like, David Arquette wasn't available, I guess.
I guess not.
The NASCAR guy.
Hey, the dude's making a comeback. David Arquette's making a comeback.
I like David Arquette.
Yeah, he's making a comeback now, too, though. So they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
Yep.
This seems to be this is their transition spot.
Oh.
So it cuts back to the ring, and it's time for your world title match of the night.
One of the biggest problems I had with this event that I wrote down, and this is not just a TNA problem, this is a WWE consistent problem too. The world title should be the main event.
Always.
The only time I could live with the world title not being the main event, I guess now I could live with a woman's title now.
If they had done a proper tournament tonight, I can understand the world title being second from the top to the tag team titles, which are crowning a new champion.
I could live with that.
I can understand, but this?
I could live with like a woman's title being in the main event, or I can live with something like the Royal Rumble being the main event as opposed to the world title match.
Whatever is your focus for the night, if it's a focus theme thing, that should be your main event. But otherwise, the title should be the main event.
That the world title or the tag titles weren't the main event of this pay-per-view was
ridiculous. What they're building up to wasn't the main event.
Ridiculous.
Made no sense. So, world title match, you have Malice, who is the former Wall in WCW.
Oh, is he?
That's the Wall.
He's the worst.
He was the Wall.
I didn't know that.
And with Father James Mitchell, because he put tats on. He's got tats now.
I didn't realize he was the Wall.
Versus Ken Shamrock, your current NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Who's selling his neck injury.
He's selling a neck injury and the beating he took. And as soon as he gets in, he's attacked by Malice. So, I wrote a bunch of notes for this. But I'm going to abbreviate this match. Malice kicks the crap out of Shamrock for almost the entire match.
Yeah.
Shamrock hits a belly-to-belly, or as I wrote, belly-to-Bailey suplex, because that's what it is.
Of course, yeah.
And he pins him for a three count.
Ridiculous.
That is the entire match. I'm not going through my notes for this one.
That's literally what I wrote too. Shamrock sells neck injury, and I put sells in quotations, hits belly-to-belly, pin, it's over.
It was essentially Malice. And this match went just under 6 minutes. It's Malice for 5 minutes and 45 seconds beating the crap out of Ken Shamrock.
If you insisted on having Malice pound on Shamrock and having Shamrock sell the neck injury, then like
three and a half minutes.
Sure. Worst case, then you know what? If Shamrock escapes with the title, have him roll him up. Don't have him pull a belly to belly on this giant guy out of nowhere.
The belly was his was Ken Shamrock's finisher at the
point. You know what I mean? Like hit a roll up and then have him get a, and then have Malice beat him up more after. I would have
made
okay
a lot
with that.
More sense. But
awful
yeah.
match.
Yeah, Shamrock got a couple of spots in the match where he got the attack, but he'd hit a move and then bam, Malice would take back over. It was just
it was awful.
So your winner and still NWA World Heavyweight Champion after 5 minutes marathon, 5 minutes 2 seconds. Ken Shamrock.
And now he can defend against some Japanese guy.
Yeah, against Omar. As they kept saying, they say his name a couple times, but it's like a big Japanese guy.
Fucking Jesus.
So they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
Of course.
I have to say it every time.
No, that's totally fine.
So we go on to our next match of the evening, and it is the NWA TNA X Division Championship match.
Now
this is where the pay-per-view picked up for me.
I was incredibly excited for this match.
Yeah. Because you have David Young, who never really became a star, but I always thought was a very, very good worker. Last week, it was a very unenjoyable match. I watched him in because they kept cutting the Bobcat the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been a good in-ring worker who can have solid matches with anybody.
Sure.
I will say that to David Young. Never became a star, but he was a good technical worker.
Sure.
And then there's AJ Styles.
As soon as I hear AJ Styles is in a match, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch his match.
And you look at him here, and then you compare him to today. This is just around 3 years of him being in the business.
He's incredible, man.
He debuted in 99. And he said, I call him Mr. Intensity AJ Styles at this point, because then he's coming out, he's doing like the flexing going, yeah. Ah! So that I always, at this point, he's Mr. Intensity AJ Styles.
He would make the rest of the roster look bad, even if they weren't bad, because he's so good.
Yeah.
The fact that the rest of the roster is so bad just makes them look so much worse compared to AJ Styles.
But then makes him look like the crown jewel of this company.
Oh, he's a monster. He's so good.
Yeah. And so you have David Young, and he has his valet Bobcat, who's just like this, supposed to be a cougar or something. Like, she's supposed to be a cougar or something.
Yeah.
And essentially, this entire match, she walks around on her phone.
And I, you know what? I won't lie to you. Like, I actually enjoyed that gimmick.
Yeah.
I thought that they did just enough with it to get her over as this, like...
I think they found the right point this week, because the week before, after a move or two in the ring, they cut the Bobcat for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Then they cut, you missed 65% of the match last week.
Yeah. I was thinking that because the whole gimmick is that she's so conceited and egotistical. Yeah. She's not paying any attention.
Where this one, they cut through her a couple times, but they didn't make it over the top like the week before.
It didn't take away from the match.
Also, no, this is an X Division title match with your best worker in your company.
Yeah.
They know they can't do the cutaways as much.
I agree. Yeah, I enjoyed her out there being an idiot like that. I thought it was funny.
So time to go through this, because this match I will go through my notes for.
Yep.
So David Young attacks Styles. Styles reverses it into a whip and gets his own whip. Hits that beautiful drop kick as he still hits to this day.
Oh, that drop kick's incredible.
When he jumps up and he hits it and he arcs back, does his arcing flip backwards. I love it. I do this every week. I praise AJ Styles on every episode of the show. Because he is the best.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's like probably one of my favorite workers right now behind Michael Richard Blaze.
It's fair.
Give a shout out to him because he's my favorite wrestler. Styles gets reversed out of a full Nelson and hits an arm drag.
Mm-hmm.
They run at each other. David clotheslines Styles to the mat. Styles ends up doing that kip up into the leg scissors, like, and Rana's him through. Since David does, like, I love that kip up head scissors. So he's just on the mat and then just kips up into the head scissors. That's impressive for anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's wild, yeah. Man.
And then Styles goes and fakes a dive. Then he goes and actually hits a tope over the top to David Young on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, I to do the fake dive and David, like, ducks and he's like, what the hell? Then he turns and here comes AJ Styles.
Yeah.
That looked great.
Great spot.
Yeah. Styles sends David back in and gets a two count. And then Styles goes for a suplex, but David gets the suplex onto AJ, but AJ reverses it. AJ's going for a suplex, David goes it, but AJ kind of flips out after the suplex. It's really weird. Then David ends up back body dropping AJ onto the apron. AJ goes to leap up to do like a springboard dive, but David just like pushes his feet, knocking AJ to the floor. And then David Young did something I don't ever remember him doing. He did an acai moonsault. And he is a good bit bigger than AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Not like the size of guy you'd expect to be doing outside moonsaults to the floor.
No, not at all.
Like it, which is impressive for a guy who is a bit bigger like him. Right? Yep. Good for him, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He shows the range of what he can do in the ring and shows why he's put in an X Division title match.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he ends up rolling AJ Styles back in, gets a two count. They exchange punches. David goes for the German suplex, but he does the AJ German into the flip and lands on his feet. The athleticism from him is
pretty
amazing.
Incredible, hey?
And the fact that he's still doing this today.
Yeah.
That's, 16 years later?
Yeah.
He's still doing most of what he does in this match.
He looks just as crisp now,
The last episode, he busted out Ushiguroshi.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think he started doing until he went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, like, the things he got. So, AJ goes for an Irish whip. On David Young. Then they start doing German suplex switches. Like, they keep doing, like, they each one rolls to the other one, to the other one's back. Ends it with David getting a Northern Light suplex into the turnbuckles. Now, I'm all for throwing a guy into the turnbuckles, but it's one thing to suplex a guy into the turnbuckles.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it at indie shows and on a couple of videos I watched online from more credible promotions. Of guys getting suplexed into corners and landing on their head.
Oh, yeah. If you're going into the corner, it really needs to be something where you're safe and controlled. You know, like,
he went in and almost landed on his head. Like, I don't like those spots because it's like you can't control where you're going
to
land.
It's not worth the risk to me for the pop you would get from it.
Definitely not. So David gets AJ. He ends up pinning him in the corner, but he only gets a two count.
Yeah.
So David gets AJ, picks him up into the corner and punching him with punches. AJ reverses the Irish whip to the other corner, and then ends up getting a crucifix for two, then a small package for two. David avoids the enziguri, and then hits, like, and AJ's on his knees on the mat. David ends up hitting like, a reverse Shining Wizard. Mm-hmm. They call it an enziguri, but it's literally a reverse Shining Wizard to the back of the head.
Yeah.
Looked good. I was like, I'm proud. I'm like, nice.
Yeah.
But I hated the call. I was like, it's not an enziguri. It's a reverse Shining Wizard. The camera cuts. This is where the camera cuts the Bobcat.
Yeah,
she's on her phone. And she's like in the camera, like mugging for the camera. So it gets her character over. But at least they didn't do it to the extent they did it the last show.
Right.
Thank God.
I would have killed them
if they cut from an AJ Styles match that many times.
Agreed.
David Young gets a leg scissors on AJ. Like on the mat, and he's holding him, and then he transitions into a chin lock. So this is the rest spot of the match because these guys have been working pretty good.
That's where you go to Bobcat.
Yeah.
Get a rest hold. Take a hold. And now when you're in the hold, and now show
that's
her.
What they did, and they did it
that's
right.
Perfect.
Because like, after they did the Shining Wizard, he got the two count. They were going to the – he was putting lasers on. So he cut the Bobcat. Simple.
Yep, that's when you do
and
it.
And it makes sense.
We're not missing anything.
Gets the chin. AJ powers out, but he gets power slammed, and David Young gets a two count. Then David Young hits a brain buster for two and only gets two count, then locks in another chin lock.
Right.
Then they get back up. AJ gets whipped, and he ducks the clothesline and then just hits a super kick. And they kind of stand, he kind of, like, AJ just stands there for a second, for like a good 3-4 seconds, then he just goes and pins him.
Yeah.
It was really kind of, maybe, I don't know if he was selling, because he was stumbling a little, but it didn't seem like he was selling.
Yeah, I wasn't sure
what
that
was.
He kind
of forgot something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, screw it, I'll pin him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Then AJ ducks another clothesline, and then they goes for the Styling DDT, that where he does the backflip off the middle rope and catches him, and then.
Gross.
Like, they fed it up.
Yeah, they
like,
sure.
But I'll say this: like Styles jumped early, and David was turning around to get in position while AJ was in the air.
Yeah,
that is a mess up on both their parts. David wasn't in place, but AJ went too early. So like he lands on his shoulders awkwardly, and he falls down. He eventually does hit the Styling DDT, and he gets a two count. And then this is where they cut the Bobcat again. Just after a pin, which is fine.
Yep,
or after a pin,
sure,
because
now
fine.
They're sitting there and he's trying to figure out what to do.
There's
like,
no moves yet, so I can understand that. She's mugging for the camera on her phone again.
Yep.
Back into the ring, AJ back body drops David Young. Then David Young gets up and he whips, and AJ gets Irish whipped by David, but he goes and he kicks him, and he goes into his kicks.
Yeah.
Which. You've got, like, it's so impressive just to still see him doing everything he does.
Yeah, I thought that myself. I was like, dude, you haven't aged a day.
No. Like, and this is the guy whose back was messed up for a few years.
Right.
And, like, DDP Yoga saved his back.
DDP Yoga, man.
Yep. And so you got AJ goes to run the ropes again. Goes, like, to run off the ropes. And but he gets caught, and David hits the big spinebuster. And they're like, oh, it's his finisher, because David was established.
Yeah.
Spinebuster.
Yeah.
And he only gets a two count.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, how did it not end there? Blah, 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 blah. So David takes AJ over to the corner, puts him up on, like, seat on the corner, goes up and going to hit like a run off the top or something.
Yeah.
AJ just stops it and hits an Avalanche Styles Clash.
I fucking popped.
Oh,
when
dude.
As soon as I realized what was about to happen, like when I realized he had him hooked for the Styles Clash, yeah. I was like, no way.
Oh, I loved it.
And it was beautiful. Like, they nailed the landing of it.
And they did it, and it was a three count. It was perfect way to end it.
I thoroughly, like, I mean, it's easy to say match of the night, but, like, I thoroughly enjoyed that match.
Oh, very much so.
It was awesome.
Oh, very much so. And AJ Styles is your winner at 8 minutes and 44 seconds.
Yeah, great match.
So yeah, so Bob cut then just comes into the ring and starts celebrating like her guy won.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then AJ just go ahead.
No, I was gonna you go.
AJ just walks up and just shoves her out of the way.
I popped at that when he shoved her out of the way and then pulls with his belt. I was like, at a kid, AJ.
Oh, I loved it. He just pushes her. It was great. And so they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
Yep,
as usual. They cut to the back, and Goldilocks is in the back with the Rainbow Express, and they're making fun of her look, saying she looks ugly or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentions about A&W getting hurt, but Joel Gertner starts promoing, and he gets really creepy on her.
Yeah, he sure does.
He says that they will get the titles without fighting for them, and he says he wants to fight Goldie, and he's like, I'll give you a go-behind.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, whew. Oh, I couldn't see. I was just like, what the hell? And then he literally kisses her. Like,
yeah.
He kisses her. Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it was. He's a good... I enjoy his shtick.
Joel Gertner is... It's creepy as fuck, but it's a good creep. He gets himself over as creepy.
He's good at it. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And, but, like, when he pulls away and then she's like, well, back to you... She looks like she was smiling.
Yeah, that was my thought. I was like, did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Like, are we supposed to be booing him or cheering him?
So you enjoy being, like, sexually assaulted? Is that what it is? Like,
yeah.
I was very confused by that.
Me too.
Yeah, so they go back to the ring, and it's time for the NWA Tag Team Championship match. The Rainbow Express of Bruce and Lenny with Joel Gertner taking, and they did say that... They said Jerry Lynn is going to be in this match replacing AMW.
As soon as I heard that, I was pissed.
Yeah, I was like, what have you been building up for? Like, I would have really liked the underdog spot.
Me too.
And Jerry Lynn comes out, and it's with AJ Styles, the man that literally just finished having an 8 minute and 44 second match.
Yeah.
A fast paced one, too. And he's going to work into a tag team title match.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, it was so, like...
Like, I swear to God, they made a decision, like, after they did the first match, going, oh, we don't want the Rainbow Express or Wildcat and Chris Harris to win the tag titles.
That's what it felt like. They changed their mind
that
moment. That's
exactly what they felt like.
Like, to me, it was like, option A, bring the underdogs out.
Yeah.
Right? Option B, I mean, I guess you give it to the Johnsons. But then you show a video proving that the Johnsons attacked them or something.
But the thing is with the Johnsons, it kind of makes the tag team titles a little too gimmicky at that point.
Totally does.
Which is why you don't want to put it on them. The Rainbow Express, again, the same thing, a little too gimmicky.
Like
Wildcat, Chris Harris, why didn't you put, you could have put Buff and Apollo through.
I thought that
would have been
too.
Legitimate champions. I would have totally believed them as champions.
I would have, put Buff and Apollo through, have Buff and Apollo lose again based on Buff or something, and then have Buff be like, fuck me, you know?
I couldn't get the tag titles
like,
or something.
I would have preferred that. I would have preferred the underdogs. I would have preferred you do just give the belts to the Rainbow Express.
Yeah.
Like a heel way to win the tournament.
Yeah,
then you find out that
and it's
they
not like they're not
something.
An entertaining. Oh, sorry, but I mean,
no,
table
it's okay.
It's not like they're not an entertaining heel
no, they
duo.
They were
very entertaining as a duo.
I just like to me, like to throw AJ and Jerry Lynn in there after Jerry Lynn got blown off by the vice president came across to me as nothing
very
more
much so.
Than either they decided last minute or they were like, we need to find a way to get AJ on the card again because he's the only one
or
it was
just
see.
Like, we have to get out of putting these guys in putting the tag titles on anybody else.
Ruined the entire tournament.
Yeah, so
was already
I did
dumb.
Like a page and a half of notes. I'm going to skip some of them. So the Rainbow Express, they work with Lynn for, I'd say, 85% of this match.
Which made sense.
Which, because
AJ just
you don't want AJ in the ring, right? So I'm going to go through a couple highlights. I saw a couple of them. They do again. They continue with the kissing tag, the kiss to the hand, which you hear Don West complaining about constantly. Ed Ferrara, who's the guy who's the creepy weirdo, is the one who's like, let them be. Which is just like, what
so
the hell?
Are you the heel commentator or what? Like,
it bothered me because like, Don West is their face commentator, but during Rainbow Express matches, he turns into a heel.
Yeah.
Which is like, what the it bothered the shit out of me.
He's just a good guy who's kind of homophobic, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much. So, at one point, actually, Lynn goes for a forearm on Bruce. Bruce picks it up, ends up hitting the Bangarang, which is a Dalton Castle finisher, where it's like he spins a guy around holding his legs and just slams him down to the mat. I loved it. I loved seeing the Bangarang in 2002. It wasn't obviously the Bangarang back then, but I loved it. Lenny gets Jerry Lynn at one point into the lion, or as he calls it, the tiger tamer.
The tiger tamer.
Because, again, history. Lenny came up at the same time as Chris Jericho. They trained together. He was one of the guys in the school at the same time as Storm and Jericho. And they knew each other for a long time. So he was using that as a FU, or just a shout out to Chris Jericho. And he was calling the Tiger Tamer because originally he was called the Lion Tamer.
I popped a little.
And he was using it as the version of the Lion Tamer. We put the knee in the back.
That's what I was going to say. I'm so used to Jericho not doing it like that anymore.
The Walls version, yeah.
So I kind of popped when I saw that because I love it that way.
I like that version. I find it's a more effective version to me. It's like, oh, you're bending him over, but the knee into the back.
The knee in the back looks cool, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I keep actually motioning every time I talk with him. I'm motioning sitting here while looking across. I do it when I'm alone doing the rest of these episodes. I've done all my other ones by Skype.
Yeah.
I do the same thing when I'm sitting there talking through Skype with people. It's weird. Bruce actually at one point motions to do the cradle piledriver on Jerry Lynn. But Jerry Lynn ended up doing the back body drop out of it, which was like, as much as I would have popped to see it, you don't do the other guy's finisher in the match you're working with the guy. Just would have been too much of a little too over the top.
Especially not in a match of like this caliber. Like if it's like a main event of a WrestleMania or something, I can, like, you know, when The Rock used to stun Austin and stuff,
yeah,
I can live with that. But like in a show like this, no, it'll fuck off.
No.
But.
And at one point, AJ's in with Lenny, and Lenny, it looks like he's going to go for like Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb or something, but AJ just comes down and Rana's him.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's AJ.
Oh, but it's beautiful. Actually, at one point, Lynn is in attacking Bruce and Lenny, Bruce, and then Lenny just comes in and he's fighting with AJ, hits a skull-crushing, Lynn and Bruce were on the outside, Lenny hits a skull-crushing finale onto AJ.
Yeah.
Like, he hooks him in the full nose and just does a sweep through. I'm like, oh, Mrs. Move.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, skull-crushing finale, I love it. And, so Lynn ends up hitting the cradle piledriver onto Lenny. Then Bruce goes to hit a powerbomb on Lynn, but Lynn he gets Lynn up for the powerbomb, but they end up doing the Rana to the outside, a prop rope. So Lenny's laid out on the mat from the cradle power. AJ goes up, hits the spiral tap off the top, gets the three count for the win, and your winners and new NWA Tag Team Champions, AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn, at 12 minutes and 22 seconds.
On the plus side of the fence, it was a chance to watch Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And it was actually a pretty good match.
Very much so.
So I can live with that. On the minus side of the fence, I don't understand what the point of the tournament was at all. It makes Harris and Storm look stupid.
It does.
It makes
it. Well, and it's the fact it's like, oh, crap, we put these two together last week, and oh, we don't know if we want to go with them as tag team champions.
That's
what it felt like to me.
It makes that segment where Jerry Lynn's begging to get into the tournament stupid.
Yeah, because he's trying to get in so badly, but it's like,
I mean,
he's like being ignored.
Having not watched future episodes, I pray that they had Jerry Lynn turn heel and be the one to take out Storm and Harris.
I'm going to be watching future. Hopefully I can report back to you that it is that way.
Yeah.
But that would make sense, because then because actually at the end, after AJ Styles hit the spiral time and got the pin, Jerry Lynn stands up on the outside. He's looking at AJ in the ring, kind of like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of, like, because it's like AJ, because he already beat him the week before to win the X Division title. AJ, like, because they did a four-way double elimination match.
Yeah.
And he beat Lynn in the end to win the title. So Lynn's standing there going, like, you just won the titles for us. And it kind of that look like,
like he's jealous.
Like he's jealous of him or something. So I can understand him being the guy who took out A&W.
Yeah.
Or Lynn and Harris, they've soon to be known as America's Most Wanted.
Sure.
But taking them up, which would make total sense to me.
That said, though, it was stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Fun match, but stupid setup.
Yeah, stupid setup for this tournament, but good ending to it with putting titles on two guys that can really be good in the ring to work with anybody.
Yeah.
So they cut to more girls in cages dancing.
Of course.
Which is actually the last time. Actually, the final girls in cages dancing for the night. So they
well, come. Well, except for when they wrestle into the cage where the girl was dancing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But
no more cuts to
them. No more cuts to them, yeah.
So they cut to the back, and they found the NWA president. He's tied up, his shirt's pulled up, and somebody spray-painted FU on his gut.
I don't get it.
What was the point?
I don't know.
And then it just cuts away.
Yeah.
Like, there's no resolution to this.
So stupid.
Oh, we all know it was Jeff Jarrett and his cronies, but...
Yep.
So they cut to a highlight package of the show Brian Christopher versus K-Crush, or Grandma Sexy, whatever you want to call him,
yep.
against K-Crush. And then they also show the highlights from the Jeff Jarrett and Scott Hall match.
Yeah.
So we go to our eighth match of the evening, and it is K-Crush and Jeff Jarrett taking on Brian Christopher and Scott Hall. Now, I wasn't disappointed by this match in any way. It didn't blow me away like the last two matches were.
No.
But it was a good, serviceable main event. Like, it wasn't like it was shitty to me.
It's funny because I was mad that the NWA title wasn't in the main event or that the tag title finals wasn't in the main event. Having said that, if that Shamrock Malice match had been the main event,
you would have been like, what the fuck?
I would have been like, this is terrible. The tag title match should have ended the pay-per-view.
I agree 100%.
If you had ended the pay-per-view with Lynn and Styles in the ring with the tag titles, I would have been like, hey, maybe I'll give you my money next week.
But this is literally them saying, these are our four top stars. Even though these four top stars doesn't even have your title.
No, they're not. But okay. Ugh. I get it, though. Okay. No.
Or this them saying, these are the four guys we're getting behind. Screw you.
Yeah.
It's essentially a Vince McMahonism. So this starts out with brawling on the outside. They all fight into the crowd. Scott Hall actually bashes Jeff Jarrett's head into the stripper cage. They're fighting inside of it.
Yeah.
I called it the stripper cage because it's essentially a stripper cage without them stripping. So they fight back into the ring. Brian Christopher actually goes for a hip drop early, but Crush comes out of the way. And he ends up tossing Brian Christopher out. I can't go through all these notes again because it's not that interesting.
No, I have to point out, too, one of the things that I noticed about this that bothered me about WCW and it bothers me about this is, like...
how they ended this match?
Well, no. How, like, in WWE, Vince and them will go out and they'll get someone that was a star somewhere else. They'll bring him in. And then sometimes they'll try to repackage him. And sometimes it works. And sometimes, more often than not, I'd say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does. If they had left Steve Austin... as the Steve Austin from WCW, who
Stunning
knows
Steve
what would have happened?
Right. Whatever, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that kind of, you know, they have left Mankind as Cactus Jack. Who knows? You know, whereas like WCW and in this TNA thing, like when I saw Brian Christopher come out and he literally was Grandmaster Sexay, the same dance moves, hip hop drop, the goggles, the same trunks, everything. I'm like, how do you not try something a little? Like, I get that you're banking on people. Like I can understand why
you're trying to bank on nostalgia. At this point, yeah.
That's entirely
what this match was.
I can live with Scott Hall being Razor Ramon because people love Razor Ramon.
I can agree with because K-Crush, who had just come off his WWE run, he still wanted to keep working the same gimmick because that's what he got him over with Road Dogg. It's like, I understand him being K-Crush.
I get that. I promise you.
And he's only still new to a lot of viewers. Sure. So I understand the character being the same. Right?
I would put it in writing that I'm the biggest Grandmaster Sexy fan on this, like, ever. my stupid email address is based on Grandmaster Sexy. Like, I love him. I loved him in high school. I used him in wrestling video games. I thought he was so cool.
Yeah.
That said, like, nobody cares about Grandmaster Sexy. Have him be Brian Christopher.
Well, he was. Yeah, he's Brian. Just
I know he is.
I know,
like,
but have him, like, with a new character. He doesn't need
literally
to.
The same
he can
character.
Still do his top rope leg drop, but he doesn't have to put the goggles on.
You know
on
what I was
his, like,
as
dance.
I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, where's Scotty? Because that's who we want to see, right? Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
you don't want Brian Christopher as that character without Scotty Tuhati or Rikishi.
You're following the WCW. Let's use WWE's greatest hits.
Pretty much, yeah.
Formula.
So a couple of other things I got to do talk in this match. Don West literally says, this match rivals any of the X Division matches we have had here.
Disagree.
Bullshit. Especially compared to last week's main event of a four-way double elimination match where you had to be pinned twice out of the match.
Right.
It was like a gauntlet-style double pin out.
Literally the match
you had AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, Low-Key, and Psychosis. Four of the best X Division workers I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Killing it in that ring, and they say this rivals it.
Literally, the
bullshit.
The match that was on half an hour ago ran circles around this match.
Oh, dude.
So,
that line annoyed the piss out of me. Like, don't get me wrong, this wasn't a bad match to any degree, but it was it held didn't even come close to holding up against the X Division and then the tag team title match.
Wait till the finish, and then, then we'll get to it.
Well, but I'm saying throughout the match,
the
match itself
was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It was serviceable.
So I'm going to cut to the end here. So essentially, Hall goes to make the hot tag to Brian Christopher, and he says no. He doesn't take the tag, and he punches Scott Hall in the face. To me, that's a tag.
Yep.
He should have been tagged in at that point.
I thought that too. I'm like, well, that's a tag, sir.
So, yeah. He denies him the tag. Jarrett goes to attack Scott Hall, but gets atomic dropped and hits the ref on his way down.
Yep.
So Brian Christopher's in, and then Hall gets the advantage. Starts beating up on all three men.
When 30 seconds ago he couldn't stand.
Yeah. So he beat up on all three men and then throws Brian Christopher off the top because he's going up to climb to the top. And then pop up power and then he like picks him up and power slams Brian Christopher. Hits the outsider's edge to K-Crush. Then Jarrett attacks Scott Hall.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this guy's a super... This guy's John Cena at this point. Like, he's getting a John Cena-level part of this match. Like, I was just like, what the hell?
It was ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus. So Hall actually gets the advantage back, and he goes to hit the outsider's edge on Jarrett, but Brian Christopher attacks, and Jarrett hits the stroke. Brian Christopher comes off the top, hits the hip-hop drop to Hall, and Jarrett gets the three count.
Yep.
So just for... This match ends with Jarrett and K-Crush winning at 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Now, for, I'd say, 9 minutes of this, I was sitting there like, all right, this is all right. This is okay. These are ones we want to consider their stars.
Mm-hmm.
I'll live with it as a main event. Now, where Brian Christopher turns on his partner, pissed me the hell off. So this is the man for the last 2 weeks has been getting attacked by K-Crush and fighting with Jeff Jarrett. And then all of a sudden, he turns on him.
This is the man that was fighting K-Crush and Jeff Jarrett 9 minutes ago. If he's going to turn on Scott Hall and join Jarrett and Crush, never have him attack. He tried to hit the hip-hop drop on K-Crush 8 minutes earlier.
And I hate when wrestling does this. Like, Kurt Angle in 2001 was on the Alliance team, then at the end turns, it's like, okay, you're the mole, but why didn't you come out earlier and start eliminating your own team?
I have no problem whatsoever.
Or Stone Cold turning on the WWF.
I have zero issue with you turning someone on their partner and turning them heel. But you know what? If you're going to do that in that main event, don't even have Grandmaster Sexay, that's what I'm going to call him. Don't even have him in the match. Him on the apron the whole time. Have Scott Hall get beat up for 9 minutes. Then Scott Hall goes for the tag.
Or
then Sexay
Hall
pulls it back.
Hall tags him in. He comes in, throws a couple punches at Jarrett.
Right.
But then tags himself right back out.
Like he...
Yeah, it would make sense.
And now they were trying to sell that maybe Hall said something to him in the corner. That's what
but
they kept saying.
He hogged K-Crush.
Right. That's my problem.
So
if
this
you,
entire 3-week feud has been... A setup?
You even could have, yeah. Like if you
literally had, the week before he had the Hermie Sadler and Sterling Marlin at his corner men, and he wrestled K-Crush in an entire match.
Yeah.
What the hell?
If you wanted to turn Brian Christopher heel during the match, like if you had him, because okay, like it makes no sense.
If it would have been
him,
early on, I would have been fine with it.
It makes no sense for him to wrestle these guys for 10 minutes, then join them.
Yeah.
You even could have explained that if you had said maybe Hall said something to him, but if Brian Christopher had just left. You know what I mean? Like Brian Christopher.
Maybe he had like early in the match, he leaves.
Right.
Then he comes back and joins them at the end. I could accept
Once
that.
Once you have
he
him.
He fought him for 10 friggin' minutes.
Then you have him join them. I was like, this makes no sense.
Ugh. So Jarrett ends up getting the mic, which is just
always
ruins
bad.
It to me.
Yeah.
He says he proved his point tonight. He says he beat Hall in 95. Okay. Beat him in 97. Okay. Who cares? Ran his ass out of WCW. No, he didn't. He was a drunk, and he got himself fired from WCW.
Yep.
The boys up north ran you out of WF. No, he had his drunk being a drunk and having his drug problems, got him out of WWF. And he's going to single-handedly run him out of the NWA. Pretty sure he did, because he owned the damn company.
You own the company, you fuckstick.
Yeah. So he punches Hall out of the ring and says, Hall's like all the other legends in the NWA, not worth a damn. fuck you. You're not worth a damn. I can't fucking stand you.
How do you not, like, when he was saying that, I'm like, how do you not go, you're just like all the rest of the legends in the NWA washed up or something?
Yeah.
As opposed to not worth a damn, because now it just makes the title washed that you're trying to win not worth a damn.
Much more sense. It wouldn't have insulted to be as much of a big of an insult to like Terry Funk, Dory, all those guys.
Yeah.
But, Jarrett, and then Jarrett is on the outside with Hall at this point, and he just picks up that trophy that that the president gave to Tanay and been sitting on the desk the entire night.
Yeah.
Beats the crap out of him with it and destroys it.
And I love how Tanay's like, not the trophy. But when Tanay got handed the trophy, he was like, okay, thanks.
Okay, what's, and he's what's going it off. On with like, this? What the hell?
Like, no one cared about the trophy.
Nobody gave a shit about that damn trophy. And the refs called the paramedics. So then Jarrett starts calling out everybody. He goes, including Toby Keith, who actually was on the last two episodes of this of the pay-per-view. Because he came in, because I'm pretty sure they're filming the same time. He actually ended up in the first episode suplexing Jarrett during the main event.
Fuck off.
And then he low-blowed Jarrett the week prior to have Scott Hall beat Jeff Jarrett. Then he says the NWO. Then he's like, whoa, whoa. He meant to say the NWA.
Yeah, smooth Jeff.
Smooth Jeff. Yeah, like, what the hell, man? And he goes and hit, like, they're wheeling Hall on the stretcher. And then he just gets at the apron, jumps off the apron, and elbows him.
Yeah.
Like, what? And knocking him off the stretcher. Like, oh, God damn it. Like, just end it. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Then Jarrett just gets back on, like, bitches more.
That 5 minutes could have been given to the AJ matches.
Oh. And then Jarrett just goes back to attacking Hall on the outside and knocks him off the stretcher again. Then slams. Then he literally picks up the stretcher and slams it on Hall.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy going back to watch these, except for shit like this. I fucking hate Jeff Jarrett.
This has me thinking that Raw is not that bad these days.
I hate Jeff Jarrett for many reasons, including him being an asshole and not showing up for shows. But god damn it, he should not be a main eventer.
No, he shouldn't be.
Oh, I hate this guy.
You know when Jeff Jarrett was at his best? When he was jobbing to China.
Yeah, he was a mid-card guy.
Yeah.
And that's where he should have stayed for his entire rest of his goddamn career.
Yep. Yeah.
But no, daddy, make me a promotion so I can friggin' be the champion.
So I can call people and then slap
I can run,
nuts.
Then I can run into the ground and have to give it to fucking Pan Energy who runs it in the fucking ground.
Watch your mouth, slap nuts. I've got a guitar, slap nuts. You're a bitch, slap nuts.
I can't stand it. And so that's the way we go off the air, is Jeff Jarrett looking like a friggin' stud for some reason.
You're not getting my $10 next week.
No, this
is Ferrara.
This
you
would not
dickhead.
Sell me on wanting to come back the week after.
No.
Ugh.
No, it was god
I'm going
awful.
To be coming back in 2 weeks again watching that pay-per-view, but I'm doing it for free.
Yeah.
Oh, I will never pay for TNA again. I'm sorry.
I was pretty mad at you for making me watch that. So if I had to take
I got you two AJ Styles matches.
It's true. If I had to take pros out of it, like, it's AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn are both pros.
And the midgets.
Puppet's fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the opening tag team match. Wildcat Chris Harris versus the Johnsons. Actually, just for seeing Wildcat Chris Harris and James Storm before they become AMW.
Yeah.
I like seeing it in the early days. Not the match as much, but like seeing them. And then, yeah, the AJ Styles stuff.
You know,
and then I fucking hate the main event.
Just thinking about it, you know what would have even made that finals of the tag team matches better? Is have them just award the titles to the Rainbow Express. Because no one has them come out. Then have Jerry Lynn come out and call them out for being like pussies for winning that way and stuff.
And then they accept the match.
Be like, yeah, we'll put it online. And then even have Jerry Lynn wrestle by himself for 5 or 6 minutes. You know, have him getting beat up. Then Styles runs out to save him.
And then
that would have been imagine the pop.
100%.
When AJ Styles comes running down the ramp and tags in.
Oh, definitely. I would have loved. That would have been a much better way. Because then it gets the title. Rainbow Express looks like the cheap heels that they should be.
Right.
But then you have Jerry Lynn and Styles get the titles as they want to put them on them, obviously,
now,
at the end of the show.
And now next week, you can set up the Rainbow Express is calling foul, being like, they weren't even in the tournament. Styles wasn't in that match.
Yeah.
None of this made any sense. You know what I mean?
They could, easily.
Easily. That would have been, look, we just booked a better pay-per-view.
So, yeah. So, obviously, I heard your pros. You heard mine. Thank you, Adam, for coming on and doing this show with me.
Thanks.
It's fun to talk wrestling with you because I know you don't get to talk wrestling a lot.
I don't, so that was a lot of fun. I appreciate
maybe I'll
you,
make
man.
You. Maybe I'll make you sit through another one down the road.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And you'll be able to go like, where'd all these storylines go.
I'll do it again. Yeah, they're gone, I'm sure.
So do you want to let anybody know where to get a hold of you or anything?
I'm
whatever you need to promote?
Well, I'm a comedian. So if you guys need a comedian for anything, or if you want to come see my shows, I perform all over Western Canada. Abcomedy.net. All my information, my podcast info, everything is right there.
What's your Twitter?
At AdamBlank17.
Because my buddy's going to put that in the notes. So.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah. So check him out on Twitter. I'll legitimately say I have been friends with Adam since I was 15.
Pretty long time, man.
Since I met his brother. And legitimately, he's one of my favorite comedians going right now. Please get out. And if you do live in Edmonton, Mondays at the Comic Strip, I think three Mondays a month.
Yep.
A Battle of the Funny Bone, Adam hosts it, and he's always good on the show. And yeah. It's always a great show.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, come see us. Yeah. And don't support Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, screw Jeff Jarrett. Sucks. You can catch me on Twitter at That Canada Guy, on Instagram at That Canada Dude. Don't forget to check out the rest of the Backbreaker Media Network on Backbreaker Medi on Twitter, because we're Canadian enough, we don't need the A. I thought that would get you. And don't forget to check out our Pivot Share account, where we have footage from Monster Pro Wrestling, CWC. I think we're eventually going to have Lakeland Pro Wrestling, the new promotion coming out. We have PPW. We have access to some bar wrestling shows from the States, which are amazing, and with our partnership with PowerSlam.tv. And hopefully soon, some RCW on the network. And you can actually sign up with us and get your first month free, and then 50% off for 3 months. So I got to actually find it. And I think it's Backbreaker Media Free. I guess I actually have to look it up, because I didn't write it down for some reason.
Attaboy.
I suck at my job.
Well, after writing the notes from that pay-per-view, you're probably like, I'm not writing anything.
Yeah.
I don't even want to watch wrestling anymore. There,
but also you can also look up the other one for my podcast, Total Nonstop Anarchy, when you sign up, and you can get your first month free and 50% off your next 3 months. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming into the asylum with me. Adam, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
And I'll be back in 2 weeks with the return of the Danimal Daniel Jobber to talk about TNA Weekly Pay-Per-View number 4.